Joining us in the studio is Dr. Max Chigobe, a senior lecturer at Makerere University who is well-versed in water resource modeling and climate change modeling for the Upper Nile Basin. He is also into hydraulic modeling for most of our challenging water flow structures in Uganda. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Max.
You're welcome.
When you say water resource modeling, what does that mean?
It implies trying to reproduce our water resources in Uganda, and that could imply a lot of issues. How much water do we have, which is coming up? How much water is flowing over the surfaces? And how much water even goes into the ground as groundwater flow? So it can also include hydraulics when it comes to waters all over the surfaces and all these floods we have in Uganda. So it's quite a widespread area of modeling.
Climate change modeling.
Yes.
What does that mean?
For climate change modeling, you're looking at how intense our rainfall patterns can be, or how diverse they can be, also how limited they can be for Uganda. And Uganda being a tropical country with tropical climate, with two climatic zones, can be quite very expensive, rather quite very, very intense and very disturbing in terms of modeling it. So it can be quite complex in terms of reproducing the patterns. You must reproduce the past climate for over 30 years when the climate was stable. Then think about the future when things like pressure, temperature, relative humidity are changing in the future. What will happen when it comes 2020s, 2060s, and 2080s?
So, for our listeners, if you're able to go to Google Scholar and you Google Max Chigobe, the amount of research that is on here, I'm just looking at all of these, are they called articles? Are they called papers?
Articles
that you've written. Mm. So future hydrology and climate in the River Nile Basin, evaluation of 5 satellite products for estimation of rainfall over Uganda. This is a lot of research into our rainfall patterns.
Yes, please.
What do these patterns look like?
The patterns are getting very, very enormous. They're increasing. And when they increase, it doesn't mean that every month you're going to have very intense rainfall. But the times of rainfall, the two rainfall seasons, it may be very, very high in terms of intensity. And that can bother ourselves so much because you're trying to have very intense rainfall, which you can't, or you haven't planned for in terms of drainage patterns for our urban areas, or even drainage patterns in terms of our local areas, and also a lot of rainfall on the ground, over the ground, for our forested areas or our vegetated areas. And we must plan and think about it. How can you get this well captured? How can you get this well utilized if you can actually make touch of that water and use it perfectly well?
When you do this research, how many years are you looking at to help you get a feel of either things are going to change for the worse, or this is how much they are changing? When did you do this research, and what are you seeing that's giving you an indicator that this is where we're going?
When you do this research, it can be quite complex. You must reproduce the past climate. So I did reproduce the past climate from 1960 to 1990 when the climate was stable. But right now, we have over 17 general climate change models, which you have to look at in terms of downscaling. And by downscaling, you're trying to narrow down the reproductions or the estimates they have made for the future. How can you tell that you have the right estimates of these climate situations in the future to come? And they look at 2020s, 2060s, and 2080s. So the question can be, what is the best climate change model you can rely on to reproduce what you're going to project? And that can be very thorough research work. Because to do that, you must use those models to be sure that you have the right estimates of your projections. So you might think about that very, very greatly in terms of predicting. And that comes from reproducing the past climate that we had when it was stable. That's 1960 to 1990s.
Okay. How did you get into this line of work?
When I was doing my master's study in Belgium, I used to see a lot of talk about climate change. And by then, we had thorough teaching about issues that may happen with our water resources, especially in developing countries. But by then, there was no research about climate change in Uganda. There was limited research about climate change in Africa. So when I went for my additional studies at Imperial College London, my PhD had to involve climate change and land use change on our weather patterns here in Uganda. And I would say by that time, it was a very, very serious issue to think about in terms of modeling climate change for the whole of the world.
When you were doing your research, your initial research, and you're thinking about back home now, you're thinking about Uganda and how this relates here, what shocked you and what still shocks you?
I would say what shocked me was the way we manage our water resources. As you can see, we have a lot of talk about our water resource issues in Uganda. Even on the radios, you can hear about Kampala being the capital city of floods and all that. So it's a very challenging issue. And I would say we have to think deeply about our water resource management. And even to do this, we must have that integration between the people into managing of the urban areas, also the researchers at the university. So it can be a very, very challenging issue to actually integrate each other, because who understands it very well? And how do you make the other person doesn't understand very well to pick the interest to support that kind of understanding? So it is challenging in that aspect. At the same time, most of the research funders, they are also supporting a lot of research in climate change for the whole of the world. So I would say if you try to read around and see the research interests of GIZ or GTZ or DAD or British High Commission, they are into the support of this concept of modeling climate change for the whole world.
Tell me about some of the research that you've done most recently that's specific to Uganda.
Okay, for Uganda, I've tried to reproduce our past rainfall. That's from 1960 to 1990. That is 30 years of rainfall patterns for the whole of Uganda. I've reproduced the rainfall for the whole of Uganda, for all the rainfall stations. And I would say that if you try to look at my publications, you can see that I can tell how much the monthly totals were, the monthly averages were, and the monthly standard deviations were for those past years when the climate was stable. So if you can do that, then you can think about the additional work of predicting climate change for the future.
You said when the climate was stable.
Yes.
And that then means that it is not stable.
Right now it is not.
So what is the indicator that it is not stable?
The indicator can look at the amount of rainfalls you try to get for every monthly patterns. So if right now, at the right time now, 2020s.
So let's look at our current rainfall patterns for this month of November.
Exactly.
What are they telling us?
They are not as standard as they used to be in the 1960s. They are different.
What's different? What was standard in the 1960s?
Well, if you look at the values, we're having a lot of more rainfall right now compared to the 1960s to 1990s. And that's not something very, very manageable. And again, you have to look at the entire country. That could be rainfall for the whole of Kampala, which is a good rainfall zone for Kampala, Mukono. But again, if you go to Arua, Kotido, Gulu, they may have, again, very dry moments for these times when it shouldn't be that dry. So even when you think about it, you might think about the wet areas and the dry areas as well. So it can be that challenging in terms of the standard rainfall zones we have for the whole of Uganda.
And when we say more rainfall, are we speaking in terms of intensity or are we speaking in terms of every day it's raining?
We are thinking of both the intensity and also the totals you have on monthly averages. For example, yesterday it rained so much and you could say, how come we're having all this rainfall the entire day? But if you think about the whole month again, ask yourself how much will the rainfall be for this whole month? Is it going to be the standard rainfall you used to have in the 1960s, 1990s, or has it changed? And the fact is that it has actually changed.